Today on Before You Buy, the Samsung Galaxy S5, a crazy hardcore mobile laptop, and the Logitech Harmony keyboard.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Before You Buy is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 30 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use offer code BEFOREYOUBUY 414. I love that song. Hey, everybody, welcome to Before You Buy. This is TWiT Network's product review show, where we get all of our hosts and some of our team members to come in and review all sorts of cool new tech and gadgets that you guys want to see. We have plenty of products today, so let's go ahead and start it off with our first review, and this one is from Jason.
Hello.
Jason from All About Android.
How's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
I'm so happy you made it here today without getting pulled over.
Yeah, although I will say when I got pulled over, it was because of the phone I'm going to review.
That's right.
Well, no, it was because I was stupid. But I happen to be holding the phone that I'm going to review today.
California law says no handheld devices while you're driving.
I wasn't driving. I was at the stop.
And you were flailing it around,
taking pictures. But I was in the car, in the driver's seat, flailing it about, taking pictures of my kids.
You got some good photos.
I got some great photos. I captured a good moment.
We'll see your pictures in just a few minutes, but you've been playing with this for about a week.
Yeah, so this is the Samsung Galaxy S5. I've been playing with it for the past week. And, I mean, it's a pretty large and in-charge phone, as you can see here.
It's big.
It's $199 on contract. You can get it for $599, no contract. And just to kind of go through some of the quick specs here. And, oh, by the
Ooh,
way, fingerprint scanner, right?
Cool.
There you go. 2500 millihertz quad-core Snapdragon 801, and I gotta say, this phone flies when you're using it. Games, whatever you happen to be doing with it, everything's super snappy and fluid. Has 2 gigs of RAM, a 5.1-inch full HD Super AMOLED screen with 431 pixels per inch.
That's pretty.
It has 16 gigs of storage built in. That gets trimmed down to about 10 gigs of usable storage.
Wow.
A little bit more than that when you're talking about, you know, TouchWiz and software enhancements on the top of that. But they kind of make up for it because the micro SD card slot can hold up to 128 gigs of storage. So you can go nutso on storage on this thing if you want. 16 megapixel rear facing camera. It's actually capable of recording 4K video.
Oh,
and
cool.
I have some samples we'll get to here in a second. 2.1 megapixel front-facing camera. Has a 2800 milliamp hour battery underneath here. Let me pull this
open. And you can replace it just like their old ones.
Yes, you can replace it. And the way that they did this, I think, and I'm sure this is the way it is on the S4. I can't remember by taking a look, but the battery is really long and slim. Now, the phone is very large, but it's also very thin. Pretty happy with kind of the size that they were able to get on the design here. And that's, of course, you know, a lot of times manufacturers will say, we don't want to put in a removable battery because it's going to bulk up the phone and everything.
Right.
Samsung really did a good job balancing that and just making a long, slim battery that still keeps the phone very slim. And
now,
thin.
You're a pretty hardcore user, would you say?
Oh, well, I try to be. I certainly try to be, yes.
Does the phone last for you all day?
That's definitely a big key bonus about this device.
Awesome.
2800 milliamp hour battery, and they have a lot of really great power management enhancements. Actually, when it gets down to 10%, mm-hmm. it'll kick into this kind of like monochrome low usage mode that extends up to 24 hours longer.
Wow.
By just giving you calls and texts. Text messages, so kind of limiting your data stuff. So if you're out and about and you absolutely still need those things, you're going to get even more battery life. And my battery life with this went a few times just not plugging it in at night. And I mean, it easily went almost 48 hours both times. So
that's cool.
And, you know, using it as I normally use a phone. So it wasn't like I was using it less at those times. So it was pretty great. Water resistant. It is IP67 water resistant. That's not waterproof, but that's, you know, rain, short dunk in the water, yeah. Not swimming in the lake necessarily.
Oh, darn.
And as a result, you do get this little cover here, right? So, which I'm not normally a fan of port covers, but obviously it's essential if you want to protect the device. I have to say, Samsung did a good job with the port cover. It's a kind of a silly kind of thing to mention, but so often when you have these port covers, they're the hardest thing in the world to pry open, and that's why they're so annoying.
Yes, they
Samsung
really annoy me.
did a great job of kind of giving you a nice little easy to grab onto notch so you can pull it right out. And then on top of that, the headphone jack is just a normal headphone jack. There is no cover on it. So, wow. So good stuff there, and very, very, very awesome as far as protecting the phone. You also saw
the back has this weird perforation that's going on.
Yes, exactly. So this probably on video looks maybe a little bit more premium than I'd say it feels in the hand. Kind of has that note style.
Right.
It's not quite pleather. I mean, it's actually plastic, but it kind of looks like it might be pleather or
okay.
leather. It's not really. It's I don't know. It's okay. I think this is up to your personal taste. For me, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it. To be honest, the design of the phone in general, you can see on the sides here, these little like notched fake chrome sidings all around the device. I can see how some people might think that makes it look premium. I feel like it makes it look kind of cheap.
Yeah.
Especially when you see it up close.
I like matte black for a phone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or, you know, of course, with the HTC One M8, you know, it's more of a kind
right.
of a metallic approach,
yeah.
Less of a plastic thing. And that's really true to Samsung's kind of design aesthetic. They really go the plastic route, which a lot of people love. It's just not my favorite thing in the world. But having said that, it's a pretty decently designed phone. Display is obviously, it's beautiful. It's a large, rich 1080p display. I love just looking and using and interacting with this display. Very big, big thumbs up there. Performance, I already said, is super zippy. Boot up process actually is less than 10 seconds from turning
wow.
it on to using it actively. So I was pretty impressed with that. And we might as well take a little bit of time and talk about the camera here.
Yay!
Oh, somehow I activated Google Now. Interesting. Don't know how I did that, but there you go.
Seems to respond pretty well, though.
Yes, exactly. So one cool thing to note about the camera on the S5 is it has a dedicated chipset, and it allows for things, you know, like faster operation. It has phase detection on the autofocus, which
cool.
is a different type of autofocus. So focusing tends to be, you know, a little bit quicker with it. And I, you know, results were kind of mixed as far as that was concerned. But ultimately, I was pretty happy with how it could lock into its auto focus. Good depth of field most of the time. Lots of bells and whistles software-wise. You just have all sorts of options to choose from when you're... Samsung's really good at just listing this grid full of a massive amount of things that you can
wow.
turn on or
off. It's
almost
too much.
You almost need a map to know where all of the options are, even
yeah.
though they're displayed on the screen for you. Brian, if you can show a few of the images. So beauty face is a front-facing camera in this regard, and it kind of smooths out the skin.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks a little too Photoshopped to me.
Kind of reminds me of going to Walmart and having pictures done. As
yeah, exactly. It's an automatic thing, so that's kind of neat, I guess. I thought that there was really great depth
nice.
Of field. You know, when I was really close to something, it had something in the background. It was very easy for me to focus to the fore or background and get a nice blurred effect on whatever wasn't in focus. In good light, pictures were absolutely awesome. Off the charts great.
The color is excellent.
Yeah, excellent color. Maybe a little oversaturated at times, but I really like the pictures there. Okay, so it has live HDR. This means that instead of processing HDR after the fact, you actually see the results of HDR on the screen as you're doing it. As you can see between these two, this is HDR on. Go back to HDR off. If you see Steve Gibson up in the monitor, this will kind of give you an indication of what the differences
wow.
are between the two. It
okay.
kind of rounds it out and gives you a nicer look, and you're monitoring that as it's happening. So that's very cool. Low light, this looks okay on this monitor right now, but if you really got up close and looked at this
it's a little
picture,
grainy.
A little grainy. in low light, but it was okay. Selective focus is another feature that it has. It's kind of similar to what the M8 has and is using two cameras for, where you can be really close to an object and then have the background, you know, be able to kind of say, yes, blur out the background. You can see in this picture, it didn't do a good job of it, right?
Right.
It captured the poles, and then it also captured that gear out by the set, but totally and completely blurred out Leo's head. If you go to the next one, this one did it a little bit better. Maybe it was the lighting, but Steve Gibson in the foreground, totally blurred in the background. So it was kind of iffy. It was kind of, you know, sometimes I got great results out of the camera and some of the features. Sometimes, not so great.
Cool. I do like that it is 16 megapixels, though.
Yeah, no, 16 it's megapixels, great. This is another feature, actually. This is virtual tour. So I was doing this a little bit earlier, and you were giving me a strange look. You're actually at the end of this video. But essentially, it's kind of like a live panorama, so you can kind of give someone a virtual tour
so
of a place.
You can actually walk around.
Yeah, you walk around, and it's not video necessarily. It's all stitched together photos.
Can you play it as a video?
That's what I did here. I actually exported it as a video, and cool. I could upload this to YouTube if I wanted. If you play it within the phone, it gives you a nice little map to show you where you went. And there's Snubs in the background.
Making noises at Jason, of course.
So there you go. So that's the camera. I'd say, you know, all in all, pretty cool. Not always the most dependable results. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to get.
And you also said you did some 4K video, right?
I did. I doubt that's going to play in the TriCaster. it's looking a little choppy.
Stuttery.
But it's 4K, and I got to say, 4K eats up your space fast.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I think this was like a minute, and it was almost 500 megs. So you gotta be okay with that, too. Obviously, hopefully you know that going into it.
That's cool.
real quick on the software, and then I'll give you my pros and cons here. You know, of course, this is TouchWiz. Mm-hmm. And I would say, from my previous experience with TouchWiz, this is definitely toned down. It's a little bit, you know, more along the stock Android line, you know, if TouchWiz could ever get to, you know, get closer to stock Android. But it's still obviously TouchWiz. Didn't really get in the way. Still, though, you know, options are just overwhelming. If you pull down that settings menu on your OS, you know, granted, it's nice to have instant access to turn some of these things on or off, but it's just kind of overwhelming. Like, you have to stare at it for a while to really understand what you're looking at. And maybe if you use it regularly every day,
right,
you'll know exactly
where
to go.
You'd get used to it eventually.
Yeah. Left of the home screen, let's see here. Instead of being Google Now, which it is on kind of stock Android, you get this My Magazine thing, which I suppose is kind of neat if you're using it. I didn't find it very useful myself. Some nice features. There's something called one-handed operation, which if I can get it to kick in. Oh, there it is. So if you are with, you know, using the phone with one hand.
Oh, this is great for my hands because I have tiny hands.
Exactly. If you're using it with one hand, you swipe from the outside to the middle and back. Either side works, and it'll bring it over to you so that you can temporarily make your screen a little smaller and use it with one hand because it is quite a large screen otherwise. So there's that. You know, they have a lot of features. Samsung's really good at spending a lot of time giving, you know, throwing all these features in there. Again, you have to ask yourself, are those features something that I'm going to use all the time?
Yes.
And some people, you know, really, really get into them. Other people, it ends up just kind of bulking up the space. That's why you have 10 gigs of usable storage on here instead of 16. So the features are neat, no doubt. Are you going to use them? That's a question you have to ask yourself.
All right, so pros and cons.
Pros and cons. I would definitely say the display. Battery, I was super impressed with battery and the power management. It's securely protected. I'm sure you saw at the beginning of this review. I've been using the fingerprint scanner the whole time that I've been using it, and more or less, I've been pretty happy with it.
Cool.
One thing I'm going to say real quick, because I've seen a lot of reviewers miss this. You can store up to 3 fingerprints, and when you do it, if you show my screen for a second, I'll just kind of show you. When you're learning it, you know, I think everybody's tendency is to go like this with their fingers. Mm-hmm. You want to store one of them like this with your thumb. That way, if you're ever one-handed, you don't need to pull your other hand over to hold the phone.
Smart,
So if you do that, it totally works. And a lot of people have complained about that with a fingerprint scanner. But anyways, it's securely protected, and then the performance is fantastic. As far as the cons, the design aesthetic, kind of the plasticky approach, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going to put a case on it, and that'll help, you know, if you don't like the plastic approach. But keep that in mind. The camera, a little too inconsistent. But, you know, it has the capability of recording great pictures. And the software is still, it's toned down, but there's still a little bit of extra bloat there. Samsung did move some of their apps into their app store so that it isn't installed by default, and that's a great start. But there's still a lot to maneuver through there. But I'd say my verdict, I'd buy it. I think it's a fantastic phone if you know what you're getting yourself into. If you're not like me, dead set, you know, into, you know, getting a vanilla or a right. Google Experience phone, and you want something that has a little bit more bells and whistles, the Galaxy S5 is a fantastic phone, and I would definitely consider it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jason.
Absolutely.
I kind of predicted that you'd give it a buy.
You did.
Kind of.
Yeah, some people I don't think were so sure that I was going to.
The Galaxy is a good line.
And it is a good line.
They do a very good job on their interiors, on the hardware.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and move on. Before our next review, though, Jason and I had a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Do you listen to audiobooks?
I listen to audiobooks all the time, actually.
Me too. I have a 30-minute commute whenever I come up here, and it is so much better whenever mm-hmm. I listen to audiobooks. So let me tell you a little bit about one of my favorite websites. It's called Audible. This is where you can download all sorts of digital audiobooks, everything of your choice. You can get anything from nonfiction to fiction, periodicals, sci-fi, fantasy. Those two are my favorites. I love those. They're a leading provider of audiobooks, so you can get more than 150,000 downloadable titles. And, of course, for listeners of Before You Buy, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service, and I definitely suggest it, especially if you're a commuter like I am. One audiobook that you may consider, this is one of my favorites, it's called ReamD, not Read Me, ReamD by Neal Stephenson. It's a very, very long audiobook, but you can get it with our trial offer. It's a really, really good book. I definitely suggest it for anybody who's kind of into the hacker type speak and kind of a gamer. It's a very good book. It had me listening even after I got home from my commute. I'd have my speakerphone on and listen to it while I was walking around.
That's when you know it's really good.
Yes, like, you just don't want to turn it off.
So often I'll pull into the park, you know, parking garage or the driveway at home, and I just stay in my car for another 2 minutes.
So if you want to download this audiobook for free or another one of your choice, you have plenty of choices in there, 150,000 titles. You can go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. That's all one word, audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. And of course, we thank Audible for their support of Before You Buy. Thank you so much. And I'm continuing to be a member of Audible myself. Now, we are going to join Padre in just a few moments with a Dell Precision Mobile Workstation Laptop. I love these things. I know you guys have wanted to see it for a while now, so we got it on the show. Padre, take it away.
I'm Father Robert Ballasaire with Twit TV, and this is the Dell Precision M3800. At 0.31 to 0.71 inches thick, 14.65 inches wide, and 10 inches high, the M3800 is a svelte 4.15-pound Dell Business Class Notebook. Dell brought the weight of the machine down by using a combination of aluminum and carbon fiber in the chassis, making it durable while giving it a mean profile and forward-looking style. The M3800 is powered by a fourth-generation Intel Haswell i7-4702Q quad-core CPU running at 2.2 GHz boostable to 3.2 with 6 MB of cache. The CPU sits on top of 16 GB of DDR3 1600 MHz memory and is supported by integrated Intel 4600 graphics, as well as a discrete NVIDIA Quadro K1100M with 2 GB of dedicated GDDR5 memory. The integrated graphics will be engaged during normal usage for better battery life, while the Quadro will be automatically activated when more graphics horsepower is needed to drive the pixels. Speaking of pixels, the M3800 has a lot of them, 6,840,000 to be exact. The M3800 sports a Gorilla Glass-covered 15.6-inch ultra-sharp 3800 by 1800 LED backlit QHD Plus panel, complete with 10-point multi-touch overlay. The screen is bright and its colors well saturated. The viewing angles are generous, and it might quite simply be the most beautiful screen I've ever seen on a laptop, PC or Mac, bar none. Storage comes in the form of a PCI Express 512GB Samsung SM841 mSATA SSD, providing 516 megabytes per second of read and 401 megabytes per second of write. Networking is provided by an Intel dual-band wireless and Bluetooth adapter that supports 802.11a, b, g, n, and ac, as well as Bluetooth 4.0. There is no integrated gigabit Ethernet port, so you'll have to use a USB adapter for wired network access. The left side of the machine sports a full-size HDMI output, a mini DisplayPort, two USB 3.0 ports, a combo audio jack, and a battery life indicator. The right side of the unit adds a media card reader, a USB 2.0 port, and a third USB 3.0 port. The keyboard is properly spaced, solid with decent travel and feedback, and user-toggled backlit keys. Likewise, the multi-touch trackpad is responsive and gesture-enabled, properly weighted for fast but accurate touch. Two speakers below the palm rest provide passable sound, even if not overwhelming. But enough about specs. Let's hear about the performance. In PCMarkt Vantage, the Precision M3800 scored 20,738, putting it firmly in the desktop replacement realm of the venerable benchmark. Though the Quadro graphics part and the 3800 by 1800 resolution means that the M3800 isn't really made for gaming, it still has enough power to eke out a score of 8594 in 3DMark Vantage. All that power does take a toll on the M3800 in the form of battery life. Runtime is so-so, with a 91 watt-hour lithium-ion battery providing about 6.5 hours of moderate use. Beyond the benchmarks, the M3800 is a joy to work with. The combination of the quad-core CPU, generous amounts of system memory, and fast SSD means that everything was faster. In particular, Adobe Premiere was brilliant on this notebook, flying through rendering tasks faster than the Mac Pros we use here at TWiT. Even the ventilation was done right, with dual fans and a heat spreader keeping sound to a minimum during regular computing tasks. The Dell Precision M3800 is available now. Pricing runs from $1,799 to $2,630. Let's start with the cons. The first thing has to be price. $2,555 is a lot of cheddar, but I'm not saying that it's not worth it. I mean, you do get a lot for your money. This processor, the screen, it is a mobile desktop replacement. Still, $2,555 is a lot of money. The second thing has to be battery. Even with this 91 watt-hour battery, we were getting between 6 and 7 hours of life, and that's if we really, really squeezed. That just doesn't compare favorably to a lot of other notebooks. Now, granted, it has a bigger screen, it has a dedicated graphics processor, it has a faster CPU, but still, you know, if it's going to be mobile, it probably should last a little bit longer. The third thing is the lack of an integrated Ethernet port. Now, I know there are going to be people out there who say, well, why not just use a USB dongle? And that's true, you can do that. But if this is really a business-class notebook, to me, it says that that should be integrated into the packet. I shouldn't have to carry around an extra piece to get the functionality out of my business-class machine. Now, let's look to the pros. On the pro side, of course, is the speed. They just really pack this thing with everything that you need to go fast. It's got that dedicated graphics processor. It's got a quad-core i7. It's got 16 gigabytes of memory. It's got 512 gigabytes of SSD and a PCI Express slot. It's just packed to the gills with all the things to make it go. But again, it's not just about speed. It's about style. I love the magnesium/aluminum/carbon fiber construction. It feels good. It feels solid. And more than that, it just looks good. Everything from the cover to this rubberized surface just feels as if they put their homework into giving you a notebook that you can use and show off. And that can be important. The last thing I really like about this is just the accessibility of all the features. The ports are spaced right on both sides. It just feels light. It feels really, really fast. And it feels like I can carry this around and have it be my daily driver without being either too heavy or too fragile. In other words, when I compare the pros and the cons, well, the Dell Precision M3800 is a definite buy. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire with Before You Buy.
All right. Thank you so much, Padre. That was interesting, and ooh, you have it right here.
Yeah, this is a sexy, sexy beast.
Do you mind if I bite it?
No, well, actually, you could. It's Gorilla Glass, so you hurt your teeth. Now, one thing I did notice, though, this was sent with Windows 7, which is actually very popular because a lot of businesses, you
it's
know.
It's great for work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But with Windows 7, I don't think it's ready for the hardware that's in here. In fact, there's a couple of drivers that are unknown, you know how like in the device driver?
Yes.
So I'm almost positive that if you actually ship this with the operating system it was designed for, Windows 8, then the touchscreen would work better, the power saving functions would work better, and you'd probably get longer battery life.
Ah, good point. Yeah, the battery life was a little low.
Yeah, it wasn't, but again, this is designed to be a desktop replacement.
Right.
You know, it's not quite a gaming notebook because the battery life would be incredibly short. You could take this on a flight. It would probably last between, you know, here and the East Coast if you really watched your, you know, how much you used it. But it's for those people who need a lot of screen real estate, who want a no-compromise video card,
yes,
who want
you know, a quad-core i7 and a huge SSD. That's all in here.
That's
but
awesome.
Of course, you're going to pay for it.
Great. Well, thanks again. This is Father Robert Balasair, and you can see him on Thursdays at twit.tv/KH and for know-how, and also with me at Coding 101, which plays at 1:30 p.m.
That's right, all Pacific
Thursdays.
Time.
Thursdays. I always forget what time it plays. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to our next review. This one is from Liz, and she has a pair of headphones that I've been looking forward to because she wears these things every day in the office. Let's check it out.
Hi. I'm Liz from Twit, and I'm going to be reviewing some wireless headphones for you because I'm a person where I'm a little bit out there and do a lot of talking with my hands. So it's nice not to have to worry about cords. So I'm going to let you know about two fantastic Bluetooth headphones that I adore. First one I'm going to review is the Outdoor Tech Private Headphones. These are amazing. Personally, the reason why I love these so much is because they actually have controls on the headset, which means I don't ever have to be around my phone. I can be listening to music when I'm gardening, and I can just be like, nope, didn't like that song. Nope, didn't like that song. Ooh, I did like that one. Go back. Volume up, volume down. Wait, someone's talking to me? I can just hit there and pause. Another big plus about these is the sound quality. These are great. I can actually be listening to something, and if I want to also be able to hear someone yell at me, I can have it around my neck, and these things can blast. Also, a nice thing about these guys is that they have up to 10 hours of charge. It has up to 35 feet range. I can have my phone at my desk bouncing away. I can go in the kitchen at Twit. I can make myself some oatmeal. I can walk in the back room. These things are still getting great reception from my phone. So, for my pros, remote control on the side of these, fantastic. I love it. For cons, the price is a little steep. These are $99, but I really do think you are getting your money's worth out of these. Really comfy fit, not the most slim looking or stylish looking, I guess you could say. On to the next one is the JBL J46BT. These guys are Bluetooth in-ear headphones. The nice thing about these is these allow me to shut out the entire world. I can work out. I can do my little Zen thing, listening to something, can't hear anybody, feels like I'm not even wearing these things. They have up to 5 hours under one charge, and they're 4.0 Bluetooth wireless device. For the pros, these are actually really small. I've seen a lot of other Bluetooth inner ears, and they are huge to be able to do Bluetooth. The range is good, the design is great, really great quality of sound, loving it. Cons, if you're like me and you've got, you know, smallish ears and some accessories, they are a little uncomfortable how they kind of try to go in all the way. Once you get them in there, they're good. They're just a little hard to get in. And $98 is still a little steep, but definitely worth the price. For these two fantastic Bluetooth products, I have to give them both buys. These guys are fantastic if you want to just be away from your phone. No, you're indecisive. You don't know what you want at first, just like me. No, I like that. No, I don't like that. Wait, turn it down. If you were saying something, pause. Love it. But these are so slim, so compact. Love having these in my purse to be able to pull them out whenever I want to and shut out the world. Both buys. Back to you guys.
I'm back over in the living room, and that was Liz with her Outdoor Tech earphones. I love those things. They're so pretty. And, of course, if you guys ever want to see anything in particular that we haven't reviewed yet, you can always email us over at byb@twit.tv. Both Karsten, our producer, and myself get those emails, so we'll be happy to check them out if you do email us. Now, before we go on to our next review, I wanted to toss to another sponsor. This is somebody interesting who I've been checking out quite a bit lately. They have a lot of really, really good images and videos. This would be Shutterstock. Now, if you haven't checked out Shutterstock yet, you can find the perfect image for everything that you might be doing. Whether it's a creative project, maybe you're working on a new website and you need to find a really good stock image. So they have over 30 million high quality stock photos, illustrations. They even have vectors, which is great, great vector art, and video clips. Shutterstock sources images from around the world. They get pictures from professional photographers, and they have all sorts of cool illustrations from artists. They review each image individually for content and quality before adding it to its library. So you know that you're going to get really good stuff over at Shutterstock. They add 20,000 images every day, so every time you visit, you're going to find something new. I love that part. And they have flexible pricing. So you can choose individual image packs or a monthly subscription for the best deal. So you can download 25 images a day with a standard subscription, and you can download any image in any size and pay only one price. So it never changes, which is great. Shutterstock gives you the images that you need to get your creative projects to the next level. They have sophisticated search tools so you can look for anything. Hey, I have an idea. I am planning a wedding, Brian. Let's look for flowers. Let's look for a... In fact, I need coral flowers. Coral-colored flowers. How about that one? And this will give me some great ideas for some flowers that I can use. Oh, those are pretty. Some pretty vintage roses. Perfect. This is great. I can come up with excellent bouquets for my wedding with Shutterstock images. I could use those on my wedding website. Ha, huh, there we go. Now, if you've never checked it out yet, sophisticated search tools, they have a shareable lightbox if you want to use that. So you can save images to a lightbox gallery and then access them anytime and share them with other team members if you need it for work. And they have a really cool iPad app. It's award-winning. So you can search on the go. You can use it to display images during presentations and whatnot. And they also have a global marketplace. They have multilingual customer service in order so that you can get dozens of international countries and full-time customer support throughout the week, no matter where you are or what you're doing. So you can try Shutterstock today by signing up for a free account. No credit card needed. Just start an account, begin using Shutterstock to imagine what your next project could be like, and save favorite images to a lightbox to review later. And once you decide to purchase, which I know you're going to do it because the site is awesome, use offer code BEFOREYOUBUY 414, and new accounts will receive 20% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com, and for 20% off new accounts, use offer code BEFOREYOUBUY 414. And of course, we thank Shutterstock for their support of Before You Buy 414. Now, let's move on to our next review. I was really excited about this one because I am a home theater freak. I love this stuff. Now, this one is from Aaron Newcomb. He reviewed the brand new Logitech Harmony keyboard. Let's check it out.
Hey, Aaron Newcomb here, and I'm here to talk about the Logitech Harmony Smart Keyboard. This thing is really awesome. What it is if you know about the Harmony Hub, which is basically this little device here, it actually connects to all your devices and everything from this little hub. You just put it somewhere within range of your devices and you use that, and then you can use either the Harmony remote that comes, the expensive one that you can buy with it, or you can just use your cell phone, which is great, your smartphone. But this actually adds in another device, which Logitech is known for, their peripherals, or in this case, their computer, or their keyboard. So this adds in a keyboard for all those times when you want to connect to your high definition, or your home theater PC, your HD PC at home, or maybe you're running XBMC at home and you don't have a keyboard. I mean, all that kind of stuff that you want a keyboard for, now you can do that. And it's only $50 more than the Harmony Smart Hub itself. So it's $150 from Logitech. And it adds this nice little keyboard. There's a lot of really cool things about this device that you should know about. So first off, it connects to up to 8 devices around your living room, whatever area you've got your TV in. So that's great. It adds the Harmony, all of the Harmony compatibility that you get with all the various devices and how easy it is to set up and all that stuff. You get that, of course, because it's a Harmony product. Also, one thing that's kind of nice about it is it comes with a couple of these little USB dongles that you can put into your PC or home theater PC or laptop, whatever, and control those. So that's nice. You actually get 2 of them. A lot of times when you get a wireless keyboard, it comes with 1. And if you want to control more than 1 device, you have to get up out of your chair, move the dongle over to the other thing and all that. But this comes with actually 2 dongles. It also comes with a extender. So some peripherals have the USB plug buried way, you know, underneath the case or something. It's really hard to get to. You can actually just plug this into the extender and then plug the extender into your USB socket. So that's nice. It also comes with a little repeater, an IR repeater. So you can hide the hub if you want to and stick this out in front of your devices and use that instead. So what I'm going to do, I have an activity programmed into the app, and all I have to do to start that activity, this one's called PCTV, so this could be an HTPC in your house or something like that that's connected to your big screen TV. All you have to do is tap on that. It's going to go ahead and start it. In fact, you can't hear this, but I could hear the TV coming on. So the TV is warming up and coming on. It's actually making a connection to my computer, and it's telling the keyboard to go ahead and connect via the USB dongle. So now I actually have a nice little remote on the screen that I can do things with. For example, if I want, I have this program to control the volume on my laptop. So if I turn mute off, it actually turns mute off on my laptop or back on. And I can adjust volume and change channels and hit play and forward and other things as well. But that's really as easy as it is. It turned the TV on behind us, and it gives me now control over functions either on the TV or on my laptop, depending on how I set it up. So now let's, just so you can see, I'll switch to using the Harmony keyboard so you can see how that works. The keyboard itself, it's a little small, but it's basically the same size as the keyboard on my laptop, not much different. The only thing I found difficult to use was the backspace and shift, some of the shift buttons and some of those extended keys on the keyboard are a little bit smaller. So where I'm used to hitting them, they're not quite there. So when I reach up with my pinky, sometimes I hit plus instead of backspace. But it's otherwise, the actual keys that you're going to be typing with the most are actually pretty comfortable. So let's go ahead and switch applications so you can see what this looks like. Here's Word. So as you can see, I mean, it's very quick. It responds very quickly. So you can see there's no delay using the USB. This also connects via Bluetooth, so if I wanted to use the built-in Bluetooth, I could do that. But it's really, really nice. It's very comfortable. It's comfortable both on a table. It's comfortable on your lap because it's big enough to fit on your lap while not being really clunky and cumbersome. It also has a nice finish on the keyboard, which is very important. So you know, it's not going to slip out of your hands when you're using it. So that's also really cool. So that is the keyboard portion of this. Now, there are other functions on the keyboard as well. So there's volume functions, just like you'd find on your laptop. There's functions to change from DVR or bring up a menu. And there's also the color-coded buttons down here at the bottom if you're used to having a remote that has the green, blue, you know, kind of miscellaneous function buttons. Those are there as well. So you can use those right from the keyboard if you want to, or, again, you could do it from your phone, either way. All right, so let's wrap this up. Pros and cons. You can see them on the screen. Fairly comfortable full-size keyboard. So, like I said, some of the buttons on here are a little bit jinky because they're small because they wanted to squeeze them onto this form factor, but otherwise it's fine. Connects to 8 devices, which is great because so many people have so many devices in their living room right now that they want to control. This connects to Roku. It connects to Xbox. It connects to PS3. PS4 is coming soon. Obviously, it connects to your laptop or home theater PC and all TVs, Blu-ray players, whatever you want, everything that Harmony's known for, it's going to connect to. The centralized hub, which is nice to connect to all your equipment, that means you don't have to change things around manually as you're sitting on your couch. Everything goes through the hub, so Bluetooth functionality, USB functionality, and of course infrared, RF connections, it all goes through the hub. So the hub manages what's connecting to what and what it's sending signals to, which is great. And also it has really easy setup for beginners or advanced users. So nice little walkthrough screens to show you how to get your TV up and running. But if you really want to control things and go down to, when I press this button, I want it to send this signal, you can do that as well. Now, the cons, there's no backlight on this keyboard. That's the one thing that kind of irks me because you're using this probably in a low light environment and maybe you need to type something in. I run into this all the time at home where I need to type in my password for a certain service on my smart TV or something. And guess what? No backlight. I got to turn on the light or get out my phone or something. I can't see the key. So that's one major con. The other small con is that the central hub, because everything's running through here, it means that you have to have this on, powered, connected, or else you can't use anything, which was a little bit of a pain because I'd like to be able to use this keyboard just to, you know, take it with me on the road and connect to my laptop and use it, or connect to my phone or something and use it as a separate keyboard. You can't do that unless you have the hub. So you got to have the hub. So that's a little bit of a con too. Overall, I would totally recommend buying this product if you're in the market for a new remote and you'd really, you know, I'd rather use my smartphone. I don't want to use a old-fashioned remote. I'd rather just use that. Totally recommend buying it, especially if, of course, you have an HD PC or a laptop or some sort of computer that you also want to connect to your TV and use at home. So total buy recommendation for me. I'm Aaron Newcomb, and thanks for watching.
All right, we're back. And, of course, you can see Aaron Newcomb on Floss. I love Floss. That's a great show. Now, we have Leo Laporte with
hey.
The Automatic. This thing is cool. So this is for your car.
Yeah, this came out about a year ago, and I must have bought it because it came in the mail a couple of weeks ago. And I know I did. It's so funny. It had been so long. I guess it has been back ordered. So every car, almost every car since 1996 has had something. It's usually right in the front dash under the steering wheel called an OBD2 port.
This is where your mechanic will plug in a little device to tell you
diagnostic
what's wrong with your
port.
Your car.
Exactly. But for some time, there have been OBD2 devices that you could plug in and then get your own information. Some of them have memory, would store trip information. Parents used it on their teenagers.
Does this mean I can hack my car?
Well, you can, but not with this.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, in fact, there is a person around here who shall remain nameless who hacks his Audi. He actually has software on his computer.
Ooh.
And a USB-connected OBD2 device where he can get into the car computer. That's not what this is for. In fact, Automatic bills this as a device that will train you to drive better.
Oh, interesting.
So now this is not new. As I mentioned, the OBD2 port has been consumer accessible for years, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of companies that make these kinds of devices. The selling point of the Automatic is it's simple, it's easy to use, and it works with an iPhone.
Right. I've never gotten an OBD2 product myself.
It's kind of a geeky.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very hardcore, and it's very advanced.
Well, nothing hardcore about this, and maybe that's one of the negatives. All you do is you plug it into the port. Not hard to find. Actually, that's probably the hardest thing to do is find the port. But usually it's very easily found under your dashboard. It took me seconds to plug it in. It beeps at you. Then you download their Automatic software. iPhone right now, the beta of Android just came out. I use it on the Android platform. And you'll enter in the 6-digit code that is unique to each of these. This uses Bluetooth LE. Which is nice because that means it automatically pairs with the iPhone. And in theory, all you have to do is get in the car and the iPhone will see it and it records your trip. It also has its own little beeper alarms in here. So it's trying to teach you how to be a better driver. So it gives you a beep on excessive acceleration. If you floor it, it goes brrr. Not a big loud beep. It's a brrr. If you go over 70 miles an hour, it beeps at you.
Oh, it'd be beeping at me constantly.
And not the whole time, just once when you hit that speed limit. And then it also hard braking. So the idea is those three things are bad for mileage. It also has, I think, a very elegant app. Now, again, this is not the iPhone version, although it looks a lot like the iPhone version, that scores you. This is my most recent drive to work. I got 100 because I didn't fail any of those tests. I didn't go over 70 miles an hour. I didn't hard accelerate or hard slow down. You cannot, now here's one negative, you cannot change those parameters. So if you have a highway where you can go 75, and you do in this country, some highways, doesn't matter. 70 is the limit. If you think that wasn't hard acceleration, and some have complained that almost anything is seen as hard acceleration, then you're out of luck. It also tells you what the cost of the trip was. So my 2.2 miles drive to work cost 56 cents, but
that's not
based on local prices or on the kind of gasoline I use.
And so, we're in California. Our gas prices are pretty high.
It's not accurate, but it's a rough idea. You can see previous trips. In fact, I have quite a few trips on here. And each trip has a nice little map of the trip and so forth. So you can see, let's get that map up again. So you can see what, you know, that was a short trip. You
can, Moving your car.
To the parking garage, yeah. So, but you get the idea. This also has some additional nice features. If you ever had, by the way, it automatically knows what kind of car you have. Some cars it can get more material from than other cars. Mm-hmm. So that's just, you know, for instance, Automatic says they can't tell my fuel mileage from my car, but they're going to project it. I found that not to be the case. I think cars vary on their capabilities. It will also tell you if you have an engine check light what's going wrong.
That's
and it'll
cool.
even give you a map of nearby mechanics. I think that's
nice.
Kind of neat. I didn't have anything go wrong, so I can't tell you how well
it's
that
pretty
works.
Pretty handy, though.
Yeah, and it will tell you where you parked, which is really handy. You can see your previous parking spot, get a map to it, get you close enough to at least beep the keys and see if you found it. I mean, the software on this is what's really kind of sweet.
Yeah.
$99, though, as you'll quickly learn, is a lot for this kind of device. There are OBD2 devices on Amazon and eBay for $17. I picked up this one for the same price, $100. This is the kind of the highest end of these devices. It's the OBD Link MX. It doesn't use Bluetooth LE. Doesn't work with the iPhone. Only works with Android phones. But it tells you a whole lot more. There is an Android app that works with the automatic. In fact, it works with any of these called Dash. That is a very similar app. This is the Dash app. Not quite, you can see, not quite so elegant, but it has some additional features. For instance, I can share my stats on my Google Plus page.
Oh, that's
it
fun.
Also tells you a lot more about what you're doing. It will show you your engine temperature, your RPMs in
that's
real
cool.
time. So all this stuff is coming off that OBD2 port, but the automatic doesn't know anything about it.
I see.
So the automatic is, I'll give you the pros and cons right now. It's easy to set up. It's kind of cool. It might improve your mileage and your driving habits just by this little
alarm. It'll condition you.
It'll condition you. And it works with the iPhone, which most of the others, in fact, I couldn't find any others that did.
Does it work? And it works with Android as well.
And it works with Android. The Android, one more thing this will do, it calls 911 if you have an accident based on your accelerometer suddenly stopping.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know how it does it. But some cars do that. My Ford Sync does that. That's a nice feature also.
Yes.
So if find parking, 911 calls, improve your mileage. There's some neat things. The software is very elegant. It's overpriced compared to the competition. The competition does this and a lot more. I just feel like the fact that I can't configure my top speed or how much my gas costs, that seems
you
like a failure.
You need to be able to have the customizations.
Yeah, and I should point out, that's the software. Presumably the software can be improved. It has been almost a year since this came out, so... I don't know whether they intend to improve it or not, but I would ask them to do that. As of right now, I'm going to have to say the automatic is a do not buy because it's a little bit overpriced and you can get something less expensive that will do a whole lot more.
Very
easy to
true.
Use, though, and if you really don't want to spend time kind of geeking around with one of these things, maybe that's a good choice.
I don't know. Maybe I'll spend some time geeking around.
It's kind of
we'll
cool.
See. It is kind of cool.
You could also sneak this on your kid's car and see how fast they
are. You could totally track them all around the town.
No memory on this, and that's another point, is it doesn't always pair. If it doesn't pair with your phone, and you know Bluetooth,
yes.
sometimes weird, then you will miss that trip. There's no memory in this,
okay.
and so you can't get it back.
Good to know.
So what I ended up doing with both of these devices is firing up the software and saying, I'm leaving, and when it said okay, then I drove.
Cool. Well, thank you, Leo. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll see you back on the show next
Once
week.
Once in a while, I got things. I got stuff.
Oh, you got plenty of gadgets for us.
I got stuff. I bought this with my own money, hard-earned money.
Well, thank you, Leo. And, of course, you can see Leo Laporte here at twit.tv pretty much all over the network. You'll find him. Of course, if you like this show, you can always share it with your friends. Check out our YouTube channel. It's at youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. And our twit.tv network page is twit.tv/BYB. And our email, again, is byb@twit.tv. I'm Shannon Morris. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And, of course, before you buy any of your gadgets, you got to watch before you buy. See you next week.